Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Annie Gibson.
And we are so excited because guess who's on the podcast? It's just Bryony Gordon.
That sounded so fake. Sounded like you really had to muster up all the energy inside you.
I'm really hungover.
It is. Can I say it's a Sunday night?
Yeah.
It's a Sunday night, yes. So, it's not natural, but I'm like, yay.
Yes.
I was like, come round. We've got champagne, beer, pizza.
We're all wearing leggings.
And, take that, miserable Sunday.
Oh.
Miserable, cold, windy winter Sunday.
Absolutely.
This is how you do it.
Absolutely. We are genuinely very pleased and excited to have you back on the podcast, Bryony, because we've been here before, haven't we?
Well, not here, literally, but we've been to your house.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was quite a while ago.
Highlights, I think, were, you know, lots of great chat, obviously, but also I think your daughter did a poo in the middle of it, if I remember.
Yeah.
Right.
She did. She went. Yeah, she went behind the curtain.
Yeah. That's right.
Sorry about that.
She laid some cable during our podcast.
She was in nappies at the time, so it wasn't like she just kind of crouched down and did a poo.
Yeah,
yeah. But she's upstairs though, so she might come down and do that. No, she would.
Well. Fingers crossed. Or your husband's around, perhaps he can oblige this time. Who knows?
She's fully potty trained. As for him,
they never get there.
So we're going to talk about lots of exciting stuff. In this episode, we're going to talk about your amazing new book, Mad Girl, a bit of chat about that. I'm also a bit of sporty chat, Helen, which isn't really like us, is it?
It is. I know we're going to go there. We're going to go to that place because we never talk about sport, but, you know, it's a special podcast.
We've actually got a sponsor for this podcast, haven't we, Helen?
We have. We're very lucky because we've got the gorgeous, the fabulous Boobydoo.
Boobydoo.co.uk.
Exactly. And do you know what they do, Ellie? They sell gorgeous sports bras. For us, with jubblies.
Yes.
And they stop us jiggling, which I like.
Yes.
Especially because, can I say, Boobydoo, I have quite a lot of sports bras from Boobydoo. My boobs, you can't see this being a podcast, but they are really quite large.
Oh, they're nice. They're really nice.
And I'm not just in a kind of, yeah, I've got big tits. I mean, they're like real pain in the ass, big
right.
tits. They're like pain in the tits. I'm like 36 double J. It's quite big.
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult to find a sports bra. And if, like me, you have undertaken the... committed to doing the London Marathon...
She's crazy! that's really inappropriate.
The first thing people do when I tell them that is that they look at my boobs. It's like the only natural response. Like, but really?
To be fair, I think there's probably someone in the world, whatever you say to them, they look at your boobs.
I got my sports bras off Boobydoo, and it's like I have no tits when I run, so
that's
really
the dream.
Good.
That's what I like, is a bra that doubles as a sort of mastectomy, effectively. That's what I look for in underwear.
But they're coloured and they're cheery. That's what I like, because I'm a 36G, so not far behind you.
You're not far behind me.
And I wore the shock absorber, I think, yesterday, and they didn't, you know, it's appropriate, they didn't move. I felt like I could do it.
I kind of want to wear them all the time.
Mine's very comfortable, and I just, yeah, I am tempted to just walk around, you know, slightly flat-chested my whole life. I like it.
I'm all for it. It's you know, comfort.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, there we go. Well, that's a bit of bra chat to kick us off.
Thank you, boobydoo.co.uk.
But for anyone who's not familiar, Bryony, would you introduce yourself for us?
Well, I'm Bryony. I'm 36. I'm drinking a beer. I'm a journalist. I write for the Telegraph. I also write books. My first book was called The Wrong Knickers, A Decade of Chaos, which was kind of all about my crazy 20s. It involved a lot of drugs and bad sex.
And Trivial Pursuit, but, you know, let's not spoil it. Read the book or listen to the podcast yeah. for more on that.
There was a lot of bad behaviour, and I admitted all sorts of things in The Wrong Knickers, like picking someone up at an STI clinic, and the time a man snorted coke off my boobs, but not while I was wearing a booby doo sports bra.
No, that's off brand. That's off message.
And we're not condone that. So I wrote, and you know, all sorts of things that were quite out there. But the one thing I didn't write about, although I think some people might have suspected, was the history of mental illness behind it all. And the book came out and it did quite well, and it was like lots of kind of, it was quite, as you guys will soon find out, you know, promo, and it was knackering. And I wrote the book while I was pregnant with my daughter. And then it came out, and when my daughter was about 14 months, I basically had a breakdown. I have really bad obsessive compulsive disorder. All obsessive compulsive disorder is bad, but sometimes people think, lots of people think, oh, I'm a bit OCD. I'm like, no, you're not. No one's a bit OCD. It's obsessive. It's a disorder, right?
It's not about having a tidy spice drawer.
No. Like, my husband sometimes jokes, I wish you had the good type of OCD.
So you didn't have an alphabet.
I mean, later I can take you up to our bedroom and show you our floor drone. Wonderful.
Oh.
But I have a terrible, a form of OCD called Pure O, which is, it's terrible intrusive thoughts, and it makes you think you might have done awful things. So when I was about 17, I thought that I was a serial killer, and I blanked it all out. And
that sounds relaxing.
It's very relaxing. I describe OCD as your brain refusing to acknowledge what your eye can see, be it that the oven's off, or that you haven't just run over someone in the road. That bump is actually a speed bump. It's not a human shaped bump, but it's having to check, and it's having, anyway. So when my daughter was about 14 months, I had the worst OCD of all, which I've ever had, which was that I thought I might have actually abused my own child and blanked it out. And I was like, it was like proper breakdown territory. And I thought, God, what? I'm not giving this thing the attention, the power it's had throughout my life. I've had it since I was 12 years old, by not talking about it. And I've talked about all these other things. Why the fuck haven't I mentioned this? So I sat down and wrote my column in The Telegraph about this form of OCD, Pure O. And it was like the floodgates opened. I got like hundreds and hundreds of letters and emails and cards. And
going, yeah, you did actually run me over that time. I just drove off. I'm furious.
People going, yeah, dark. People saying, me too, if not OCD, then other forms of mental illness. And I realised, this is all very serious very quickly, but I realised that it's really, really normal to feel weird. And my publishers, who had initially wanted me to do a novel, were like, no, you've got to write about this shit. So that's
hot.
This is really hot right now. This is really cool right
they're
now.
They're going to, oh, that's really awful. Your experience is really amazing. It's very intense, Brian. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Just got dollar signs. Spinning.
So
that shit.
So I wrote this, my latest book, Mad Girl, A Happy Life with a Mixed Up Mind, which I like to describe as an upbeat book about depression.
It's full of lols.
Well, I just thought, lols, God, as well. You know, like, I don't want to read a book about depression and feel more depressed by the end of it. Like, I don't, it's like, I think Matt Haig, Reasons to Stay Alive, is a brilliant book because it gives you that sort of hope. And really, all I hoped was that someone would read it and think, oh God, yeah, I do that, or that's okay, it's not so bleak, and they'd feel the courage to share their story too. And then, but it's all got a bit weird. Like, I've kind of accidentally become this sort of like mental health campaigner, which is ironic given that I don't know my arse from my elbow most days. Who knew? Like, writing a book is quite stressful, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But like, we definitely didn't do a lot of it in the pub. We definitely didn't.
But like, who knew that writing a book about mental illness might make you feel a bit mentally ill?
Yeah,
what a shocker.
Yeah.
So this time last year, I was really very ill, and I hadn't finished the book, and I was thinking, fuck, what have I done? I was really ill, and when I get really ill, I run. When I say run, I kind of jog just until I look like I've been in the glare of a nuclear bomb, which is about 30 seconds. But I was out on Clapham Common, which is near where I live. Instead of listening to Take That, which I usually do, I listened to this. There was a documentary on Radio 4 about Carson McCullers, who is this author who wrote The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. She wrote about loneliness, and she tried to commit suicide several times, and she died in her 50s of alcoholism. And anyway, there was this archive audio footage.
I love that the choice is that or take that. That's Bryony's listening option.
You can rule the world or die.
Do you know that Rule the World was We Could Rule the World? That was our that was embarrassing at mission time number one here. That was me and my husband's first dance.
Aww. At your wedding?
Yeah. This is archive audio footage of Carson McCullers, and she said, sometimes it feels like everyone's part of a we except for me. And I was like, I literally stopped in my tracks, which wasn't hard because any excuse to stop in my tracks when I'm not running. And I thought, you did have a wee, you just didn't know you did. So I came home.
You were running, sorry.
And I came home and I said to her, I've got this idea. What if I do like a walking, running meetup for people with mental health issues? And we call it like Mental Health Mates. And he was like, are you high? And I was like, I have taken a lot of diazepam.
So yes.
And then he was like, but what if a load of nutters turn up? And I was like, that's the point.
That's my people.
So I went on Twitter and I kind of mooted this. I was basically talking into the ether, like I didn't know if anyone would hear. And I said, I'll be at this cafe in Hyde Park at this time on Valentine's Day. So I thought, that's a shit day for lots of people. Mm. And I turned up and 20 people turned up.
Oh my God, that's
and
great.
Now we have, this morning we had one and it was 44 people came. And we have them all over the country, like in Leeds, Cardiff, Bristol, Edinburgh. We have one in San Francisco next month.
Wow. So what do you actually do when you meet up?
We just meet up and go for a walk. But the whole idea is that, you know, so just even sometimes when you're suffering from depression, just getting out of the house is not half the battle. It is the battle. Mm. And so the idea is, and also I thought, you have Alcoholics Anonymous and all of those things, but what about, there is no place where you can meet like-minded people, because what all mental illness does, and all mental illness has in common, is that it lies to you and it tells you you're a freak and it tells you that no one understands you and that you're worthless, and it bullshits basically. Mm. But it becomes stronger inside you because it allows you to believe that no one else will understand what you're going through, when actually, you know, the statistic is something like 1 in 4. People every year. So it's to kind of get a group of people together and just show how fucking normal it is.
So do you talk about your illnesses, or is it more just sort of just general?
I mean, people
talk about
do,
take that, things like that.
Yeah, but you talk, the point is, you can talk about whatever you want. You can talk about take that, you can talk about what you watched on telly last night, or you can say, can you tell me how to get off diazepam, as someone did this morning. And I was like, no, I don't know how to suggest that. But the point was, that person had come and, you know, for the first time they could talk openly with someone and know that they wouldn't be judged. And it is nice to hear people talking about like the efficacy of antidepressants, like as if they're just down the pub talking to a mate, and that's what I wanted. And you know, people go off and they have coffees. There's a group now from it that go to a pub quiz every week together, and real friendships have been made. But yeah, they're now all over the country, so people have got in touch, and we've created like a walk pack and yada yada yada. So that's accidentally what I've become in the last year.
You are the face of mental health,
the face of mental illness. It's just what I always wanted to be. Right.
It's every girl's dream, isn't it?
Poster girl for mental illness.
That's right.
But no, I think that's Ruby Wax.
Oh, she's amazing. If you're listening, Ruby, do answer our emails. or at least like a tweet. But what I love about it is it's bringing so much joy. And it's also helping people talk about it, which is the first step, isn't it?
Literally no one has ever got better from a mental illness by not talking about it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, talk, tell me all the gruesome, gory details. Tell me everything. And people go, really? It cannot be worse than thinking you've abused your own child.
Yes.
And they go, oh, okay then. And then I have to say, I haven't abused my own child. Yeah. And I have to explain. Just be clear. You know, it's such a shitty, you know, form of illness. And Well, let's face it, all illness is shit. There's not,
there's no, you're the best.
There's no
you
good.
You win, Brian.
There's good, no good illness. But, you know, it's just, it's so, you know, it is miserable. And and it, people suffer in silence. And there's this really British thing, isn't there? Stiff upper lip, just get on with it.
But this is how I found myself running the marathon.
Right.
I love the Royals.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember on our podcast, we talked about Kate Middleton, how when you had Edie, you had a fantasy about being her friend. And blow me down, Bryony Gordon. You just go and meet her and agree to do a bloody marathon.
Oh, you met the Middleton.
What was it?
Met her like three times now.
I imagine she smells of...
Her name's Catherine, actually.
Oh, right. Sorry.
She's Kathy Middleton.
She's from Cambridge.
Came on.
Does she smell like White Company cassis? That's what I
mean. I
lime and basil.
I love you, Kate. Again, reply my emails.
You have her email? I don't know.
I don't know. I just guess them. I just go through Kate Middleton at Gmail, Kate Middleton at Hotmail. I just try them.
I've met her a few times now.
Oh, I see.
Once, twice, three times a lady.
Yes.
They're really lovely.
Yeah.
Like, they are really cool and they really care about mental health issues. And
well, they sort of have to say that, don't they? They met William and Kate and they're like, oh, to be honest, Brian, you're not really interested. Don't really care about mental health issues. I'm going to go home and eat some truffles.
Okay, so they've launched this charity called Heads Together.
Right.
Which
is it about head lice?
It's for knits, yes.
It's a knit charity. Britain needs a knit charity.
Fucking they do. When your child goes to school, it's all about knits.
She's already
knits.
Had knits.
Oh, bonus.
Yeah.
She's probably caught it off the middle.
She's so advanced.
So what is Heads Together?
Okay, so it's the official charity of the London Marathon, the Virgin London Marathon. Let's get our sponsors right. I will be running in a booby doo bra.
Excellent.
It's basically it's a kind of a charity that supports 8 different mental health charities, including Mind and Calm and this amazing charity called Place to Be, which goes into schools and teaches kids about mental health. The whole idea is to kind of get a conversation going about mental health, and I got invited because of my writing about it to the launch in last May. Yeah, and I got introduced to Catherine, and I was like, "Are you going to do the marathon?" And she was like, "Oh no, I don't think I can." You know, said something about security.
Haven't got a good enough bra.
And then I was like, "If I can do the marathon," like motioning at my full-on 36 JJ size 18 figure. You can do it. And she was like, and then the guy from Heads Together
Kate Middleton
like,
was like, JJ for Juicy Judge, you go girl. Is that what happened? Please tell me that's what happened.
I want to be friends with her still. Okay
so
don't ruin it, Ellie.
Carry on.
And for the guy from Heads Together, I was like, oh, did you just offer to do a marathon? And I was like, okay, let's do it. Because I'm kind of like, I'm just like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it. This is why I'm the idiot.
Why you're on this podcast.
Yeah. But also it's why I'm the idiot that my daughter is in nursery at the school and I offered to be class rep.
No,
of course.
No.
So I'm like, let's just do this and that. And then I'm like, what have I done? I just like to throw myself in at the deep end. So I'm running the marathon for Heads Together. Your director rate is £10,000.
I've got about 18 on me. I was going to use it for the cab home.
I think it's ukvirginlondonmarathon.com/BryonyGordon.
That's what we're after. The link.
Yeah.
It's very catchy. It rolls all the time. It's on my Instagram profile.
So what advice would you give to someone who maybe hasn't run before or is thinking of getting back into running after having had a baby or stuff like that?
Don't
bother. Just eat some more chocolate digestives. Watch Loose Women. Shut up.
Just commit fully to the process of getting fat. Like that's what I did. I put on 4 stone.
You're so proud.
I actually managed to put on weight after I'd given birth. Who does that? I do that.
I did.
I put on weight. I now weigh slightly less than I did after I'd given birth. Just as soon as I'd given birth. What I really love is like a full on body transformation. You know, people are like, oh, get your body back. And I was like, no, I'm going to explore this because having big boobs and stuff, I was so, you know, for me, like you get a lot of attention in your boob area. And for me, it was like a feminist statement, getting a bit fat and being like, fuck you.
Yeah. Jermaine Greer would want me to eat this wheel of brie. That's what she'd want.
I'm going to do this. I'm on maternity leave. I'm going to sit while I'm feeding this baby formula. it's quite boring, isn't it, having a newborn baby? Like, lots of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, lots of crisps. And I just thought, I'm just going to throw myself into it. And then I thought, probably, given that she's going to turn four quite soon, probably I should try and, you know, reverse that process. But I like to do things, you know, I don't do things by halves. I commit to the cake and the crisps, and now I'm committing to the marathon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went out and I ran 13 kilometres this morning.
That's amazing.
I don't know if I've mentioned that on my Facebook, on my Twitter, and my Instagram.
Attention, attention.
And 8 times since you've arrived at my house.
But you didn't. But you That's don't start. Crazy. You don't just get up and like run 13 kilometers. Is my point. You have to. I always use the app. Like I do, always do the Couch to 5K app.
So yeah, yeah, you yeah. Do, like, oh God, no! I didn't just like think this morning I'm going to start marathon training.
Yeah, I'm on the podcast tonight.
I'm going to go and run. No, I've been doing this. So like back in October, work sent me off to this place called the Body Camp in Ibiza, and I've never been to Ibiza before because I used to take a lot of drugs and I thought if I go I'll die.
That is why the flights are so cheap.
It's the one way ticket.
Yeah, it's a lot for space on the return.
But I went along to this body camera and thought I'm going to fucking hate this. You know, it's like, you know, a plant-based menu and exercise from dawn till dusk. Ugh. Dusk till dawn, whatever.
I really want to go. It sounds amazing.
It was... Like, you know those people that say it
changed. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Changed my life and you want to slap them in the face. Well, slap me in the face, it changed my life. It was...
There you go.
Take that.
I've been waiting to do that all day.
You went on a journey.
It was a really amazing group of people. The people that run it are amazing. And I was just a hilarious trainer who loved Arnie films and 80s and used to just play really 80s music called Rick. And he had a tiny chihuahua. It was like the most incongruous thing. But we did like 20k hikes. I cried. But I came back and I genuinely, like, I felt like I'd kind of kick-started something, or just started something, because kick-started would imply that before I had some level of athleticism. But it was amazing. And so I've been kind of training since then. I've lost like 20 pounds.
Wow, well
That's
done.
That's amazing.
And not really, like I still have a booze, you know, every now and then, like twice, three times a week, maybe. I'd really recommend it. It's a fun place to go. If you could, like, go with your mum friends, get also because you just, oh my God, you get to sleep in your own room, you know, like, and you get to, like, literally they feed you at 6:30 and then like you're a small child.
Yeah.
And then you can do whatever the fuck you want until the next morning at 6:30.
You want to drink and do loads of
you
coke.
You can't drink and do loads of coke. That's the point. It was like, I was like, amazing. I'm like, I've been to Ibiza and I've got high without drinking or taking drugs.
And now I'm absolutely unbearable.
I'm so insane.
Guys, you don't need alcohol to have fun.
No.
No.
First thing I did when we got back was like, I got wrecked. I was pissed on about a beer and a half.
I struggle with the balance. So I can go quite easily. Like Monday to Friday, I'll be really good. Like no booze, no carbs. It's great. And then Friday night, we'll do a podcast or something. And I'll go out and I just go mental. And I'll just have 6 pints of lager and a bucket of KFC. And then wonder why I'm still not incredibly thin.
You had that tummy bug last night.
I did have that tummy bug. That was a mercy.
Were you ill last night?
Yeah, I was ill. But you know, but how do you resist temptation? I suppose is really all this balance. I'm really saying, how do you stop yourself eating all the crisps?
You don't. But the thing is, the way I resist temptation is by not resisting temptation. So if you see what I mean, like. Look, it's destined.
You allow yourself something.
It's not fucking sustainable if you suddenly decide that all you're going to eat every night is like quinoa and lentils and you're only going to eat chocolate mousse made of avocado.
Yeah, which is the best kind, obviously.
It's just not. Oh, and I'm only going to drink turmeric, whatever. I don't know.
Like, everyone's into that turmeric,
you morons.
I made a shot of ginger, lemon, and turmeric juice the other day. And
wanker.
I read it in Stylist magazine.
Turmeric wanker.
I'm trying my best. It's like I've eaten oven baked pizzas all week and like, oh, this will fix it.
Yeah, this will flush me out.
50 mils of lemon juice will really sort that shit out.
Flush all that mozzarella right out of my colon.
All that really good ham I've been eating.
You've got to be realistic.
Mm.
I don't know. So that's what, you know, I will allow myself a couple of nights a week to have a drink. But you know, you hear the people that are like, really, they're like, oh yeah, you know, occasionally I'll let myself have like a cube of chocolate.
Yeah. Like, these freaks?
Like that's not treating yourself.
That is not treating.
Do you know what I mean? Like, for me, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna let myself order Deliveroo and I'm gonna have 3 Byron burgers.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
You know, I can't because I have that like mentality, and then I feel disgusting, and then I'm like, I'm just gonna have turmeric shots now.
Yeah.
Eat lentil. I'm a bit obsessed with lentils though.
Oh yeah,
they're really good. They're like really
carbs, lentils.
No, they're pulses, I think, and grains. And people that eat pulses and grains live till they're like 600 or something.
Excellent stuff. Well, there we go. Is it time now for a bit of book chat, ladies?
Let's do book chat.
So yeah, so you've always been quite open about all aspects of your life, and including your illness, I suppose.
But I hadn't always been open about that aspect, and which I think is, you know, testament to how much stigma there is surrounding mental illness. Seriously, until I wrote Mad Girl, I didn't make any link between being a cocaine fiend in my 20s and like my OCD and the fact that I was basically just quietening all the, you know, the voices in my head. When I was 18, like my hair fell out. I looked like, do you remember the Hamlet cigar man with the comb over? Well, it looked a bit like Donald Trump before he had a bouffant, you know. And no 18-year-old girl should look like Donald Trump. It's just not a good look. And I basically had a comb over, and then about a year later, I developed bulimia. And I never made any link between the two. That, you know, basically the alopecia was probably caused by the stress of the OCD, and then the bulimia was probably caused by the fact I was trying to get some control over my body because of the alopecia, and then the raging cocaine habit
probably wasn't helping. No,
but then I later developed probably has something. But
they rarely prescribe that in those situations.
Also, I had this horrible abusive relationship when I was about 20. Gosh, sound like, you know that friend of yours who's always like, you're like, I've got a headache. Like, well, I've got a, you know. Mm. I got a brain tumour.
I got a list.
Yeah. I got, you know, these were all things that just seemed to me to be normal parts of my life, and I hadn't actually stitched them all together. And when I was writing Mad Girl, you know, at the age of 34 or whatever, I was like, fuck.
When you say it like that.
Yeah. And everyone's going, oh my God. How could you not see it? And so in that way, it was quite helpful.
What would you say to your younger self now? Like, if you could, you know,
be kind to yourself. You're going to do really great things. You're going to be on the Scummy Mummies podcast not once but twice.
Yeah.
So, like,
double peak. Yes.
Do not worry about
you're
it.
You're going to get amazing bras from Booby Doo.
Yeah, you're going to go to number one on the Sunday Times bestsellers list. So, really, fuck it.
Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
Take less cocaine. There we are.
Take less cocaine, yeah. But we are, you know, we are really unkind to ourselves, I think. And, you know, if someone pays someone a compliment, like, oh, like, I like those earrings, or, you know, I like that top. This is just a thing, I just threw it on. It's like, I don't think you're, if you just said, oh, thanks, I wouldn't think, God, you're arrogant.
Yeah. No, when we came in, you said, I like your boots, and I had to use every ounce of power in my being not to say to you, oh, they're from Primark, they're £12, don't like me.
Do you find I say things are from Primark, even if they're not? Like, oh, this, I just got it from Primark.
I know it says Balmain on it, but really, it was £8. It was £8.
Oh, you know, I don't own anything from Balmain, but you know, but like...
Yeah. But we're in a constant state of apologising, because there's this stupid ideal of perfection and what we should be doing, and that we always should be changing ourselves. There's never contentment.
But also, when you become a parent, it's like constant guilt, and one of the phrases I recently picked up is comparison is the enemy of joy, you know, and constantly, oh my god, my child isn't crawling, or my child can't speak Mandarin yet, or, you know, and this whole kind of, oh god, and, you know, I feel guilty when I shove my daughter in front of the telly with a bowl of cereal in the morning, as long as they're fed. But I just think it's constant guilt, and it's constant thinking, well, what can I be doing better? And sometimes you have to stop and go and think, I'm fucking awesome.
No, you do. But I think motherhood is that big leap, when you just feel your life becomes very public all of a sudden. The choices that you make, and
they're reflected in this young child.
Yeah, as well.
Whereas before you could just sort of, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
What's been the reaction like to Mago? It's out in paperback now.
Yes, out in all bad bookshops.
All train stations. What kind of feedback have you had?
Amazing feedback. Really positive. Lots of, quite moving, you know. You get a lot, I feel all so worthy, but, you know, a lot of young women going, oh my God, they didn't know that Puro was a thing, or, you know, they didn't know what they were going through. But also, I think just, it's been amazing, and it's made writing it all feel really worth it, because I'm not going to lie, I fucking hated writing it. And if I look back to where I was this time last year, like, I remember what I was doing, like, this day last year, I was really, really, really ill. And I hadn't finished Mad Girl, so it's kind of bonkers to me that it's now out in paperback, and it went to number one last week. But I think, it's all kind of really surreal. It feels like a bit of an out-of-body experience, and I'm really naff. Like, I'm really uncool. Like, I go into Waterstones, and I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, have you got any copies of Mad Girl? They're like, what?
But we have our faces on the front cover of the book, and I was reading our book on the train the other day, laughing at my own jokes, and I thought, what a twat.
No, it's really good.
What a wanker.
What a wanker.
And can I just say, I'm sitting now looking at, is this a proof or is this the actual
thing? No, that's the actual thing.
But I'm looking at it, and you guys look really hot, even with the fish fingers, nappies, Lego, and chips on your hair.
That's because that photo was taken 3 years ago.
Yeah. We're very happy with our book. Available for pre-order on Amazon now.
When is it out, guys? March?
9th of March.
I knew that.
Will you,
in return, come and be interviewed by me, the Telegraph?
We would love to.
Please.
We'll wear our booby-doo bras.
And just your booby-doo
bras. So comfortable.
Bras,
yes, please. Thank you.
So, I guess just to round up, for anyone who's maybe reading your book and kind of going through mental health stuff, whether it's OCD or something else, what would your advice be?
Talk to someone about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be ashamed. Wherever you are, there is someone really close to you who will understand it. You know, if you think of the 1 in 4 stat, and also I know, you know, talking to mums, so many mums really suffer after they give birth, and they think, well, this is just what you're supposed to do. You're just supposed to suffer, aren't you? Because this is what happens. And you know, they don't talk and they don't get help. And I hate the idea of all these kind of... Remember when I, when my daughter was a newborn, you know, there were like group, you know, it was NCT or whatever, but there was like buggy fit. And I was like, I didn't want to go to buggy fit. I didn't want to run around with my buggy. I wanted to sit and talk to someone about how fucking weird I felt it all. And how after 3 weeks after I'd given birth, I'd gone to a party and then vomited on the street afterwards and say, is that right? Am I a terrible mum? You know, I'm trying to get used to this. Who am I? What am I doing? And I just think that, you know, talking and sharing is, it's a great thing to do. You can come to Mental Health Mates. Actually, we did a Mental Health Mates for Mums in September with Peck and Mama.
Lovely. Clemmie Telford.
And that was really successful. We had about 30 people come along. So, and hopefully we're going to do some, maybe you guys would like to come and do a Mum's Mental Health Mate.
We would love to. I mean, we are mental, so it sounds ideal.
It's an illness like any other.
You know, when you're doing NCT as a new mum or any kind of, it just takes one person to say, I'm finding this really hard, or this really sucks. And then it gives people, I guess, the freedom to say, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, that's what we love about doing this podcast, is that we get women from around the world going, oh, thank God you said that.
Yeah.
You've made me feel normal. And that is the biggest compliment.
Making someone feel normal.
I met Ellie only, I think, just over four years ago. And I think of all the things we've had, it's when we get the emails that make us cry and saying, please keep doing what you're doing. You have no idea what good it does. And then you go, and it's really lovely. And you think, oh, fuck it. You know, we do have to keep talking. You don't have to say it once. You have to keep talking.
You have to keep talking, and you have to be, and you know, and literally genital warts and all.
Yeah, exactly.
And women as well. As women, we're supposed to be, you know, kind of the whole way through our lives, we're supposed to be at every stage ashamed. You get your period. A tampon falls out of your bag. You know, why the fuck should I be ashamed of the tampon falling out of my bag? Or, you know, and then your period stop. Be ashamed, you know, or you're aging, you know, all hide away, just disappear, you old crone, you know. Exactly. And I fucking hate that. And it's like that process, you know, I wish people would talk more about, you know, I had no idea that, you know, after I gave birth, until I got pregnant, I was going to bleed for a fucking month afterwards.
No.
Or that there was going to be this huge, what's it called? Show? Show, as if it's like some sort of like performance that comes out of your vagina.
Like a pantomime.
No, it's a like disgusting.
It's behind you.
I didn't know that, you know, that they were going to shine a floodlight on my vagina, like the FA Cup was going on in there. You know, all of these things that I just wish we'd all, you know, I didn't know that you'd probably shit yourself. And we're not supposed to talk about these things, but fuck it. You know, so I'm really, you guys are great.
I love you, Brian.
Point is, it's okay to be mad. It's really fucking normal. And I think the more we all talk about it, the better.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Done.
Now, is it time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions, Thorn?
I think so.
Would you like to kick us off?
Okay, so last night, Ellie and I were at a dinner party, and it was a wonderful night.
Posh.
It was so nice, and it was a curry, wonderful curry, and of course, Ellie and I went for thirds. It was so good. And so later in the night, I was outside chatting to some women, and just let one off that was so loud, who I just met. And I was like, I was so drunk. I just went, oh, it was the curry. And they sort of looked shocked. And then they laughed. And then I was laughing so much, I did another big... big fart.
Of course she did.
But again, and then... So this morning, I text them going, oh, my God, I've just woken up and realised I farted in front of you. You know, thank you for inviting me into your home. She's like, oh, my God, it made me feel so much better. Can we get together and fart together? I'm like, sure, any time, your best friend. I love you.
Beautiful new friendship is born.
It's a sharing thing in the theme of the podcast.
A sharting thing.
Oh, that's lovely. My confession is, so yesterday, it was a Saturday, we went to the park with Charlie and Joe, my little ones, and we're having a lovely time, and poor old Charlie, it was quite muddy, and he slipped on one of the wooden climbing frames. He cracked his nose, awful, and it was that moment of like, oh no. And we'd arranged this pub lunch, and the bleeding had stopped, and he sort of stopped screaming, and I was like, are you all right? And he's like, my nose hurts. And I was like, do you want to go home? Or do you want to go to the pub with George and Lily? And he went,
I want to go to the pub. And I thought, that's my boy. That is my child. Smashed up nose. He wants his
I'll be right.
And as an extra Scummy Mummy add-on, I said, all right, you've had a bit of a shock. You need something sweet. So I'm going to let you have your first ever Coca-Cola.
No!
Straight to Coattail.
What happened?
He loved that shit.
Is he still awake now?
Funnily enough, Brian, he's got a Coke habit now.
See how we tie things up? Wow. There's the magic.
I just felt so sorry for him, and he was being so brave, and I was like, oh, go on then.
Let's have some caffeine and sugar.
Get diabetes. See if I care. It's lovely.
The first one's free.
Brian, do you have a Scummy Mummy confession?
Oh, what do I... So, a scummy confession about being a mummy. Harry?
It's not your baby.
I faked the DNA test.
The other day, Edie was pretending to put the keys in the door. I'm going to unlock the door, mummy. I'm going to unlock the door. Like... George Formby, and she was trying. You know, obviously she had no kind of grasp, and she dropped the keys, and she went, "For fuck's sake!" And I was like, "Oh,
we're bringing up nice. We are,
but okay."
On your ED. Now,
I'm going to tell you another confession quickly before we round this off. Has anyone seen La La Land yet?
Not yet.
Basically. My husband and I have become obsessed with the soundtrack and sort of when we're drunk pretending that we're Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. And on Friday night we went out to the pub and we came back and we put on our Sonos, our tiny, like we go around people's houses, they've got like 87 Sonoses, we've got this tiny little like matchbox one. But it still makes quite a noise, and we were listening to these kind of this jazz hands kind of music basically, and the neighbour came round and was like, who is about 23. And she was like, would you mind turning down your show tunes, please?
Only in Clapham.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening to the podcast, dear listener. You can find us at Scummy Mummies on Instagram. We're on the Facebook Scummy Mummies podcast. Where can we find you on the internet, Bryony Gordon?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram at Bryony Gordon. I don't have to spell my name, do I?
No, of course not.
I'm on Twitter at Bryony_Gordon.
Excellent.
And Mental Health Mates. We have a website which is www.mentalhealthmates.com, and we're on Twitter as at Find Your Wii, not Wii Wii, but like Wii.
Not Nintendo Wii.
Not Trump's Wii.
W-E. That's not proven.
Amazing. Excellent. Find us all. And of course, your books, The Wrong Knickers and Mad Girl, are out now, and we love them. We think they're brilliant. Everyone should buy them. Our book, The Scummy Mummies book, is out on the 9th of March. Pre-order it now from Amazon.
Excellent. And the book is launching in Australia on April the 1st.
Excellent, yes. And Helen's going to Australia to promote the book. She's in the Melbourne Comedy Festival. You're doing your solo show, which is called...
Thorny Questions.
Exciting times. It's going to be amazing. Oh, well, I think that's about it, isn't it?
That is. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, Bryony. You've been amazing again.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Oh, this is a debate you might be able to settle for us. We had this debate the other week. Is a sweet potato a carbohydrate?
Yes.
It's a potato, isn't it? It's actually a potato with more sugar in it, surely.
It's lovely.
But that doesn't mean it's not a carb.
I think it's a complex carbohydrate.
Yeah, it's a good carb. It's not simple. Potatoes are too starchy. These have got...
What do you think sweet potato? It's a potato.
I know, but it's got better keratin in it.
Keratin?
I think so.
Isn't that a shampoo?
No, it's an orange vitamin.
Well, that's cleared that up.
I can't want to go and Google that, but also, while I Google it, can I go and have a quick fag break?
Of course.
But is that really bad?
That's the Scummy Mummy's way, my friend. Welcome. You're not with Catherine and William now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.